Dear Shooter, well, it looks like suppressors will be staying on the NFA. Seems like the longer things drag on, the less beautiful the big bill becomes. On a brighter note, Jason got to shoot a really cool SBR from Q.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents. Here's 20 cents. Here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip
weird.
On. It's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
You know, I've decided that every time we go and try and do something fun over the weekend and I unplug a little bit, I come back and the world has just gone to shit.
It's a very fluid environment, man. It changes a lot.
God.
We weren't gone forever. Just like 3 days.
Well, consider it like your dog sees time. Doesn't matter if you go outside to get something out of the car or if you've been gone for a week. He's counted. You've been gone forever.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, and realistically, Brandy and I took off. We went up on the mountain, went camping, and within an hour of getting there, I was ready to pack up, come home. So we get up there and we get the camper all set up, and everybody's. Everybody's telling us something different and this and that. And then finally, we're like, okay, we're going to park it here. Everybody's cool with it. And then one of the other people that was camping with us decided they were going to move their camper. And in the process of doing this, munched my truck.
Oh, no.
Just turned too soon, too tight, and the back of their camper went just completely sideswiped the quarter panel of my truck. And I was just like, I was standing just in front of our camper. I was finishing getting everything set up, and I heard the crunch. And it sounded like somebody just tore a beer can in half. Hmm. And I just remember thinking to myself, fuck, that sounds expensive. But, I mean, and it probably will be. Unfortunately, it's not my dime, so.
Yeah, it's just the inconvenience and hassle of it all. I mean, there is nothing good about having to deal with insurance and body shops, that whole thing, when it's your truck.
Yep.
It just, there's nothing good about it. Even though you're not paying for it.
Right.
In a way, you're going to pay for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing's free.
That's right.
So that's kind of how it started. And then the whole, you know, nobody knows what's going on. And I was just frustrated. And then we had a sneaky suspicion we were going to have to move where our camper was. And I remember looking at it, told Brandy, I was like, you know what? If we have to move this thing, we're moving it back home because weekend's already shot.
You must camp in a completely different environment than I do, because when I go, where I put my camper is where I put my camper. First come, first serve. I'm sorry about your luck.
I typically agree. But, I mean, we go on family property and...
Oh,
there
so
was
there's
a bunch
politics
of
involved.
A few, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
But,
all right.
We're going to go someplace different this weekend.
You're choosing not to play.
I'm choosing
no,
not to play.
No, we're still going to family property.
Just, yeah, different family.
Different family. So you've taken your proverbial truck and went home.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
Break all my shit. I'm going home.
Camping's supposed to be relaxing.
I mean, stay tuned for after next weekend.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. Your dog's not going to be as happy because the other property isn't as big, and he's probably not going to be able to roam like he usually does, but...
Oh, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. He's still going to get to go on his ranger ride, and he gets to go to a new place now, so hopefully that'll That'll be cool.
That'd be a full day worth of excitement for him.
Oh, it usually is.
Yeah.
He was not thrilled to come home and have to take the after camping bath.
No, sure. I'm not thrilled to take the after camping bath either.
I usually am because, man, that was gritty.
But I've leaned all the way into being gritty by the time I come home, and it's okay.
Yeah, no, I was ready for a shower. It you ride around on those dusty roads all day long, and you're just black.
Oh, yeah, I don't do that either.
So what did you do? I heard you went fishing this weekend.
I did. I hung out the house on Saturday and did absolutely nothing. It was fantastic.
That's always a good day.
I don't even know how many naps I took or how long they were. I did absolutely nothing. It was cool. And then the next day, the kids wanted to go hiking, and I thought, well, heck, while they hike, I can fish. So we went up East Fork.
There you go.
I tied into several cutthroat, and it was just a wonderful day on the mountain with nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody. It was great. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. So we get home. Yeah. So we get home Sunday night, and I'm sitting here scrolling through Facebook and checking into my world, and I find out that they're not going to remove the suppressors from the NFA. That this has all been kicked out through the parliamentarian saying that it doesn't fit the bird rule.
Yeah. So there's been several evolutions on that topic as we start talking about checking out on Friday. It went from they're not going to remove it from the NFA list, but they're going to take the tax burden to zero, which makes no sense whatsoever because the only thing it gives the ATF or the NFA any kind of teeth is it's a tax.
Right.
Title 26 allows those agencies to actually exist and create rules. So it made sense that, okay, well, we're just going to make the tax $0, right? But you're still going to have to go through the paperwork, do the egregious draconian registration, right. and we're going to classify a muffler like a firearm.
Yeah. Worse than a firearm.
Well, it class 3 item.
Yeah.
Right. Lumped it in back with these short-barreled rifles and any other weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So then that got presented, and the parliamentarian at the Senate said, well, these don't qualify under the Byrd rule to be in a reconciliation bill.
And, yeah, because it doesn't meet the for budget scope purposes, which right. I don't understand because it's a tax.
Well, that's the whole point. And see, the parliamentarian is an appointed position. She is a holdover from Harry Reid.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a very liberal agenda.
Oh, yeah.
And she heard gun control and didn't think that it had anything to do with the reconciliation bill. She didn't read it.
Right.
And to her defense, there, you know, it's 950-some-odd pages. It's a big bill. And reading it would have taken, well, she'd still be doing it.
Well, if she'd have just read that section, I'm pretty sure she could have done that in an hour.
But it's a tax. And so she is procedurally and policy wrong on this ruling. Now, the guy that runs the Senate, you know, J.D. Vance,
mm-hmm.
he could say, no, you're wrong, and you could overrule her. She is a non-elected, appointed parliamentarian.
Right. So she's there is just to, like, enforce the rules.
To guide the bills down the legalities of Robert's rules. That's what she's there for.
Right.
And he can say, no, you're wrong. This is a tax. It has a direct effect on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So it is eligible to be heard in a reconciliation bill.
Right.
And he could put it back in its original verbiage.
Do you think he does that? Or do you think it's going to be a go-along to get along?
If he's pushed, typically vice presidents have zero tolerance for being pushed around or told that they're doing the wrong things. They want to make everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only chance they have of being elected next time.
Right.
And the midterms are coming, so how they're perceived is a big deal.
Right. Well, and a lot of these Republican senators need to get their butts in gear.
Absolutely right.
Because there's several that are up for re-election.
Now, the downside is over the years, in our slack time, as I like to call it now, when the NRA was not doing appropriate things, other than trying to defend themselves against a lawsuit, they allowed politicians to train the folks at ILA how to treat them.
Right.
Right? and basically point to the corner and say, go on the paper like a good boy, and you'll be the person I praise in the room, but I'm really going to treat you like a whore. And that's the way that our ILA's been handled by the politicians, and it's wrong, but they've also allowed it. That's wrong.
That's, yeah.
As a reform candidate on the board, I'm working to change some of that, but it's going to take more than just me. Yeah. Membership has to come out in force and demand the NRA step in and do what it's supposed to do on the one issue that we stand on.
Right.
So does JD overrule the parliamentarian? Probably not. He's probably going to go along to get along to not make waves. It's going to be the very stereotypical vice president move.
Right.
But if membership in ILA takes a stronger stance, he won't be able to ignore it. And at least it'll give him some pause and some conflict to do so.
Hopefully we see that.
So it's going to take a really strong vice president on the Second Amendment to pull this off. And I hope someone from his camp's listening.
Yeah.
Because if he wants to be perceived as a strong Second Amendment guy, let's remove this tax.
Well, and I think Vance is strong enough to do it. He is not a weak vice president. He's not in the shadows. He's actually out there doing things.
I hope you're right. But in negotiations 101, right, you ask for what you want.
Right.
Knowing you're probably going to acquiesce to something that's not what you want, but it resembles it.
Oh, see, I shoot for the moon. I ask for everything I want and then some, and then we'll walk it back. And then I usually end up getting what I want.
Or something that resembles that
close to it.
Right. We haven't even asked for what we want in this discussion.
Right.
What we really want is the ATF and the NFA gone.
Yes.
If the FBI does their job, they're useless agencies.
Right.
So, in a reconciliation bill, all right, doesn't have its place. But.
Well, I did see on a side note, the Firearms Policy Coalition is jumped on the bandwagon of saying, do not merge the ATF and the DEA.
That would be a bad
move. So there is a lot of people jumping on that bandwagon. To the point, I think Trump's going to have to backtrack a little bit on that one.
Well, the unintended consequences of what that would actually do for the citizenry is devastating.
Right.
And from a budgetary concern, it will weaponize, again, the ATF.
Right. And I don't think, you know, it's that law of unintended consequences. I don't think that when the Trump administration announced that they wanted to do that, I think they were looking at it from a consolidation standpoint. Let's save money by putting these two together because they have similar missions, but didn't understand how bad it would be to merge those two agencies.
From a charter alone, it muddies the water badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be a horrible thing for the U.S. people.
Oh, it'd be awful. So if anybody from the administration's listening, please don't do this. Just kill that right now.
Keep them separate. So when we actually do get them shut down appropriately, it doesn't affect more than it has to.
Right. Exactly.
So I am planning ahead.
So on a happier note, I got to go play with a really cool new SBR.
Short-barreled rifle.
Yes.
So chambered in what?
300 blackout.
All right.
Suppressed. And I can't remember what the suppressor was. I know it was a silencer coat titanium, but I cannot tell you what the actual model was. But this thing was cool. My stepdad brought it up. He'd just gotten it. It was Q. And this is the first gun I've ever shot from Q. I've seen them. I've messed with them at shows and stuff, but I've never actually got to shoot one before, and this thing is sweet.
So as a self-proclaimed blackout hater, you liked it.
I've never said I've hated blackout.
We need to pull up the archives, because you never fell into the blackout crowd, because you don't want those ammunitions ever mixing on the range, and you just didn't see a use for it, because, you know, 9mm does the same thing, and
Well, okay, fine. Then I have become reformed, because
there it is.
My goal is to build one this year.
Oh no, you're coming to the dark side.
I want to build a 10.5-inch, 300 blackout, with the force reset trigger.
All right. So when I built my 10.5-inch blackout with a suppressor, he rolled his eyes so hard, I think he almost hurt himself.
You couldn't tell.
Oh, I could tell. He about fell over. But you shot one that's cool.
Oh, man.
Now, quiet, hard-hitting, what makes it cool?
Well, it was quiet. It would be a lot quieter had we had subsonic. When we were shooting supersonic ammo, so of course you heard the crack. But even with that, it was quiet. So I'm saying that with subsonic ammunition, all you're going to hear is the bolt cycle.
Okay. Subsonic takes a 200-yard gun to about a 90-yard gun.
That's okay.
All right.
That's what this thing's for. And he had the best idea I think I'd ever – I'd never even considered this, but he goes, I'm going to make this my timber gun. When I go into the timber after elk, this is what I'm taking. And I'm like, that is genius.
It would totally be effective.
Yeah.
Now, he needs to check the regulations to see if blackout in subsonic meets the power factor for legal cartridge.
I think he'd run it supersonic.
Okay.
Because he would run a hunting bullet.
And a 308 pill would totally be lethal.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to make sure he's legal.
No, he's gonna run supersonics to hunt with, but, you know, for going out and just having fun, the subsonics would be, ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'd never even considered that before, going, oh, man, a short barrel going through the timber. Because, I mean, typically when you're hunting elk in the timber, you're looking at a 50, 60-yard shot max.
Yeah.
Usually it's you come around the corner and the bull's right there 7 yards away from you.
Yeah, I've done that.
So I having a short barrel with a red dot, just throw up quick shot, I mean, that'd be just.
So I'm going to ask the selfish question. What'd he put on it?
He had a hollow. No, it was a hollow sun.
No, it was an EOTech.
No, it wasn't. It was a hollow sun.
Was it a hollow sun? I thought it was an EOTech.
So when you text him here when we get done, let him know that we're divorced.
I didn't say anything at the time.
I know.
Because, you know, when we sighted in his 300 Weatherby, he had Swaro on that one.
Fair enough.
But.
And then he shot his AR you built him for Christmas and zeroed in his Lucid Optics.
Yep.
Right. So he should know better.
Well, you know.
He likes to have one of everything.
He's subject to marketing and peer pressure.
Yep. He has no excuse. He's family.
But we did find out, and, you know, we proved the, and I'm not even going to say theory, we proved the fact, once again, everything's better with lube. Because when he pulled that AR out that I had built him, he hadn't shot it yet, and it was bone dry.
Oh.
And so, like, the first two or three rounds out of it, hang up, failure to feed, it wasn't a failure to feed, it was a failure to actually seat the round.
Dry.
So when the bolt went forward, it didn't turn and lock. So I'm like, oh, I don't have any gun oil with me. I don't have any, you know. So we dig around and we find chain oil, you know, chainsaw chain oil.
That'll work.
And it coated the bolt in that real good, threw it back in the gun, and it was like butter.
It ran like a sewing machine.
Like a raped ape.
Mm-hmm. Everything's better with lube.
So, yeah, we did that. We got to. I pulled out the AR I had with me with the Echo trigger in it. Which that got everybody in camp all, what was that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, that succession in fire rate is unmistakable.
Yeah, you get rocking and rolling with that. The problem is it's expensive because you go through pew seeds really fast.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a forced reset in one of mine, and I will tell you, it spits out the ammunition a lot faster than I can understand how much I just spent.
Right. Okay, so let me ask you this. You have the force reset.
Yep.
What is the cycle rate?
On my force reset, it's about 2/3 of full auto.
Okay.
It's fast.
So
it's not, I mean, it's to the fast to the point where it's not controllable.
That's what I was going to say. So it's controllable full auto.
Yeah.
Would you say that it is like almost like a double tap speed, but you're able to kind of see your rounds impact?
It's probably twice faster than that.
Okay.
I will tell you that you do it in bursts.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's fast enough that it will want to walk on you. I mitigated some of that by adjusting the weight in my buffer and some of that, and it runs pretty lateral. but it's fast.
Now, do you run that with a hydraulic buffer, or are you running just a normal spring?
I'm running a hydraulic buffer, actually.
Okay.
An armor spec one.
Does that affect the speed at all?
I think it sped it up a little bit.
Do you? Okay.
I actually do, because the bolt is traveling the exact amount of distance it needs rather than an over-travel with a spring.
Okay. And I'm asking you this because, you know, I'm taking notes for my build.
Sure. No, yeah. And I put one in a 9mm carbine, and I think the cycle rate's real close to full auto. It is fast, but it's not a gas impingement.
Right.
It's a direct blowback.
And that direct probably does make it a little faster.
And it's substantial to hold on to a 9mm carbine when it wants to rock and roll. It takes my carbine from something that I hit things with to something I hit around with.
Well, you know.
Now, I'm going to hit it several times, but it's not going to be all even remotely in the same spot.
Well, let's be real. I mean, full auto really is for keeping heads down.
That's correct.
I mean, that's why, you know, full auto, if you're really going to get serious about it, you go belt fed.
And even then, it's suppressive fire.
Yeah. I mean, you're not. We're not talking precision here.
And the idea that it makes it more dangerous is silly, because I had a man-sized target at 50 yards. I had 30 rounds. And when I torched it off and I held the button.
You hit it twice.
Three. But yeah, you're not wrong. It's definitely not as accurate by any measure.
Was that the 9 or was that, which one was that?
That was both of them, actually.
Okay, because I would think the 9 would be relatively controllable. I don't see a whole lot of recoil there.
No, and it rocks and rolls just enough to take it off target.
Okay.
It's impressive.
Yeah, because my thing is I want to get one of the FNs, they're belt fed, they're M249, mm-hmm. and put a force reset in that.
You probably get close to military speeds with that.
Well, you'd get the performance. But you get all the performance you want.
I'm going to start loading the ammunition, whatever you choose that's going to be chambered in, and I'll be your Huckleberry, because it's going to disappear fast.
It'd be 5.56.
I will start loading it. Just holy moly. Because 30 rounds disappear really quick.
Well, and those are usually 100-round belts.
Yeah. Yeah, so three times as quick.
Oh yeah,
giddy up!
I mean, I need to get with our friends over at Opal and just start shipping the pallets, so I'd have enough to feed this thing. Yeah. And I don't think it'd be my issue. The lovely lady sitting next to me is the one that gets a little trigger happy when there's full auto around.
She does enjoy it.
It's kind of cool.
And I know if I go and I do this thing, I know what's going to happen. There is going to be a mount on the roof of my Ranger with this thing.
Yes, as there should be.
Right? Get out of traffic.
Traffic. I mean, you could have that log that we had to try and winch off of the trail this weekend. You could have just saw that thing in half.
That would have been way crazier than what you guys were doing, because that tree was going to snap back at Sean.
Yeah,
so.
But that was so much fun.
Did we try and winch something out of the way?
Yeah, so
we did. I have video.
Oh my gosh!
So you know, we're finally getting up some of these trails that we haven't been on since last year, and winter time, and trees fall down and things happen, and so there was a pretty substantial tree blocking the path. And between the three of us that were up there, we started digging around and all the stuff in our Rangers and hooked up a block and tackle and winched and got this thing pulled off of the road. Only to drive another, 75 yards to a dead end.
To a marsh with bugs. The mosquitoes were the size of the truck.
So that was worth it.
It was great. Yes. I'm so glad we did that.
If you're breaking trail for the first time, this time of year, you've got chainsaws, dude.
I was thinking about it. As soon as that happened, I was like, man, I should have packed a chainsaw.
You should have seen the cute itty-bitty saw that Sean brought
out.
Yeah,
but I tell you,
saw it in half.
I tell you what, that thing about got it, too. and it didn't take very long. I don't know what saw he had. It was one of the Wyoming saws, you know, the folding, folding bone saws. That sucker got after it.
I was like, we're going to be here till next week.
No, they're pretty aggressive. They'll take a pretty good-sized trunk of a tree and cut her down.
Yeah, and I forget who makes it. They make a lot of, like, the survival items and stuff. SOS, I think, is who it is. But they actually have, you know, you remember the old wire saws?
Oh, yeah.
They make one that's actual chainsaw blade.
I have one.
Yeah, those I should probably pack one of those.
Two big D-rings to hold on to and you go to work. And they work.
They do work. I've got one, and I should just pack it in the Ranger for things like that. I
mean, if you want to work out, they definitely provide that as well.
Yeah, but I'm moving trees that are, you know, 12-inch diameter and less. I'm not going to move those two-footers. Even if I had, like, the full-on chainsaws and stuff, I'd be here all day.
So that's a choice. They'll either ramp it and go over it, or they'll turn around and go back.
Oh, no, that's a challenge.
Yeah, you got me thinking here. And while I think, I'm going to go get a whiskey. And while I do that, let's check in with 10th Mountain.
Beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Deer Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target. Under budget.
So, while we're on the subject of stupid shenanigans, my brother-in-law put up a zip line.
All right.
I have a video of this, too.
Did he go to, like, a supplier and buy a spool of cable?
Oh, no, this came as a kit.
Okay, I've seen these.
It was 150-foot line.
Yep, I've seen these, and then 300-pound max kind of thing on the pulleys.
Yeah.
And, all right, they need to be tensioned.
Yeah.
I bought one for Lance Fister years ago, and he got lazy and never installed it. So it's sitting over at the shooting shack in a box still.
Oh, we need to fix that.
But cable stretched over a distance needs to be tensioned. Otherwise, it will sag, and somebody's heavy ass is going to hit the dirt.
Well, it did just fine for the kids that weigh 40 pounds, but, you know, me, Mr. 180 pounds, jumps
now,
on it.
It makes me interested in how the weight difference between you and the children when you go to that stop spring, because that thing jerk stopped them and launched them back the other way. You have more weight, so you'd have more momentum. And how many bones would break in your body?
Yeah, and the fact is, like, the kids had, like, a little seat that they could sit on. So they were way better supported. I was just holding on to the handles. When that thing stopped, I'll bet you I got wrenched right off of it and right into the tree. I mean, it would have been a Wile E. Coyote splat.
So proper zip lining. You're in a harness. And you're D-ringed, right? And
no.
Behind the flow of the pulley,
no.
You have a leather handle in a glove that you can control your speed.
No.
On.
Come on.
And they give you hand signals when you're ziplining to tell you that you need to brake or you need to let go or whatever. They're talking to you the whole time. And nobody was talking to you first off, I can tell.
No.
And second off, you weren't controlling your rate of descent in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, no.
But
no,
he
no.
never hit the end because he hit the ground before he hit the end.
I made about
his
halfway.
His heavy ass hit the dirt.
I hit a stump.
Ow!
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge speed, but it was a speed enough.
It was enough. I
How
had
fast
enough.
Were you going, do you think?
Oh, I bet I was 15 miles an hour.
Ow.
And it, I wrenched my ankle pretty good on that one.
Yeah, you don't think about how fast 15, 20 miles an hour is until you hit something going that fast.
Yeah.
That's stationary.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was definitely going faster than I can sprint.
At 20 miles an hour, yeah. I mean, 20 miles an hour, that's Olympic-level sprinter.
And I'm not Olympic-level. You know, I bet I could go 12, 13.
Yeah. Yeah. And you hit a stump going 20.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have a video I'm working on to release on our social media of all the stupid shit he's done so far this summer.
And I've only been camping twice.
Oh, my God.
The year is young.
Well, I can't say that because you weren't there when we did the night shoot, when we went out and shot rabbits.
You're way too excited for this statistic.
Now, it's challenge accepted.
Oh, my God. I'm sure glad he travels with a trauma kit.
Several.
But the problem is if you're the guy that gets the trauma, the people around you need to know how to run the stuff.
Oh, I know. I've been to that class, like, you know, and it was one of those full-on, the fake blood, the fake wounds, you know, the makeup, you know, and I was with it was a Ranger platoon that we were doing this with, and one of the scenarios, I mean, it was mass casualties, right? And two guys are trying to take care of this guy, and all I hear is these two guys screaming for the medic, and somebody yells back, "That is the medic."
Yeah, yeah. So therein lies the inherent problem.
So I that one kind of burned into my mind of, man, I can't get hurt, but I'm probably going to be the first one to. Too.
Well, you've got to stop doing dumb shit if you're the one that can't get hurt.
We've had this discussion, okay? Men's maturity level maxes out about 14.
This is true. Compounded by alcohol, this is an unavoidable situation.
I wasn't even drinking at that point. I was drinking coffee.
Yeah, this is the beginning of their wonderful day.
You don't have a chance in hell you start drinking. Oh, my gosh. You got good insurance on this guy?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. Maybe you ought to take a look at that just a little bit.
No, I make sure that I'm worth more alive than I am dead.
Sounds like you're hosed, lady.
I'm the one with the trauma kit, so let's see what he does.
Well, that's just it. She's got had all the trauma that I have. I mean,
if she hands you a pen and a paper first before the tourniquet gets applied,
that's a consent form.
Yeah, that's what we'll call it. That's a consent form. Uh-huh. I know her better than that. That's not a consent form.
You wouldn't do that to me.
You don't know this.
Actually, I do. You wouldn't do that to me because I would have stashed the trauma kit somewhere and you wouldn't know where it was.
That's just not fair, putting it up high. That's not fair at all.
He does that with everything.
I do.
He bought me a chainsaw.
Yeah.
For me.
Uh-huh.
It's on the top shelf. I can't get it.
Well, at least it gives him, you know, that 30 seconds of hearing the chair being drugged so he knows what's going on.
Oh, exactly.
I have guns in reach. It's quicker.
And I make sure those are all unloaded.
Yeah, but do you have ammo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Well, I guess that's kind of a tactical error on your part.
No, actually, there was a point we were inventorying stuff and I was cleaning everything at one point and I'd left all the guns unloaded and I don't know what it was, raccoon, tweaker from the lake, something.
Fox,
that's right. And none of the guns were loaded. And she's like, yeah, I got my ass chewed for that. So now
I had shit thrown out all over.
I make sure everything's loaded. And honestly, that goes back to my uncle and my grandfather's way of thinking is an unloaded gun is no good.
It doesn't do you much good, no.
You know, and we're fortunate. Maybe that's not the right word, but like we don't have to worry about kids, so guns are kind of out and around everywhere.
And even if you had the the kids to be concerned with. They would know what they are. They would know that they don't mess with them without supervision. It's an education thing. We've been over it 100 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the point of the shenanigans is you're not getting any younger, pal.
Yeah, but you know what? I think, you know, we talked about this with, you know, people that retire and then they just don't go do anything. Like, that's when you just get old and die.
Well, that's probably true.
I mean, when you stop the shenanigans, like, what's the point?
Oof. I used to do a lot more shenanigans than I do now.
Well, I think about the shenanigans a little bit more now. I don't just go, hey, let's try this. I go, all right,
how is this
going to work?
Okay, point of order. If you thought about the shenanigan, it's no longer a shenanigan.
Well, you know, usually once you get into it, things change.
It's a key definition of a shenanigan. I have not thought this through.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we thought through, you know, years ago when my buddy and I were climbing Grand Teton over New Year's. We really thought this plan through. You know, we drug our sleds up almost to like 11,000 feet, and then we stashed them, and we took just what we needed, and we finished the climb, and we were coming back down. Of course, we got hit by a hellacious storm on New Year's Eve, but the plan stayed. Like, and as we were coming down, we decided we rode sleds down the front face of Grand Teton.
It's a mystery how you didn't die.
Yeah, I know, because that turned into total shenanigans.
Uh-huh. By definition, unplanned, right?
But it was planned. But it fell apart really quick, which is how they turn into shenanigans.
Uh-huh. Yes, by definition. If you plan a shenanigan, it's not a shenanigan.
Well, it just goes back to have a plan. You know, we talk about this all the time, self-defense, right? Because this is a gun podcast. Have a plan. But fully expect that plan to completely fall apart.
No, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But that's a whole different level of... See, a shenanigan is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And a self-defense type of deal. I'm not seeking that out. That's not necessarily fun.
No, but you get... I mean, I'm trying to segue back into something a little more relevant.
Oh,
yeah. It's summer. It's a lull.
Oh, it is. And that's the one thing that does suck about summertime for, you know, gun media. There's just nothing going on.
Well, there's stuff going on, but nobody's talking about it. I mean, GunCon's going on right now.
Right.
And, boy, that event's kind of grown into something interesting.
Yes.
And all of these small little events that used to be ancillary have become a bigger thing now.
I think that all happened during COVID when SHOT was suspended.
Well, they shut things down and didn't allow us to gather in place, and the smaller venues were like, we don't care.
They grew exponentially, and I think a lot of the manufacturers, you know, because you look at something like SHOT Show and somebody like Smith & Wesson or Glock, I mean, these guys are spending $250,000 to be there.
Just to be there.
And they can go to these smaller venues. Not only can they sell at the venue, they're substantially less. I mean, we're talking sub 50 grand for to send their whole crew and their whole booth and everything for 4 or 5 days, and they probably make it back in sales.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So cost benefit, I think a lot of these companies went, screw SHOT, we're gonna go do all these.
It makes more sense from a business perspective.
It absolutely does. But then it goes back to, you know, what we've always said. If you're not at SHOT, everybody thinks you died.
Isn't that the truth? Ask me how I know.
Yeah. But I don't know. But, you know, back to my point. Have a plan. Expect it to completely fall apart. And make sure that your training is such that you can make it up on the fly.
Mm-hmm. So when shenanigans do happen,
right,
you're ready.
Exactly. Be ready.
And I like that.
And on that note, what are we blaming this week? Oh, we're blaming the Senate parliamentarian.
Correct.